Welcome to News from the Breach, a Dragon Prince podcast. We are your hosts,
Yana
and Kaylee. Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to start talking about Book 5, Ocean, and we're starting with Chapter 1, Domina Profundis, and Chapter 2, Old Wounds. I will start by reading the synopsis, and then we'll get into the details after. So, Chapter 1, Domina Profundis. While Ezrin awaits an audience with the Archdragon of the Ocean, Rayla hunts for answers about her parents and Runan, and Callum struggles to find information about Aravos. And Chapter 2, Old Wounds. Worried by Claudia's relentless pace, Terry dreams up a creative solution for how to move and sleep at the same time. Rayla and Callum set out for Luxoria, and Ezrin prepares to address the dragons.
Really cool.
That's it.
Yeah. So, new book. That's exciting.
Yes. Finally.
Yeah. And they started pretty, like, fast. Into the new thing.
Yeah. And for the beginning of the episode, there was, like, no intro.
Yeah.
And no recap. Yeah. It was just, bam, here you are.
I was a little bit surprised by this.
Yeah.
And I had also some questions. But I think I could clear some questions for me by watching it again. But still, I will ask you some questions.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Maybe I have the same questions.
Yeah, but of course, you shouldn't spoil.
Yeah, no, I won't.
Good. Cool.
So it starts and there's no intro, like we said. It just begins and there's like the ocean and there's a big shell, a metal shell structure sticking out of the sea. And Zubeya is circling around and lands on a rock next to it. The sea is very choppy and there's lots of dark clouds with like sun, but like sun behind somehow. So made me think, oh, there must be a rainbow somewhere because it's kind of raining and stuff. Very kind of dramatic, stormy skies, anyway. Mm.
Yeah.
And there's also thunder happening. And then Corvus and Sorin show up carrying, like, they're carrying, it's like a treasure chest with sticks to help them.
Yeah, I wrote down large box with handles.
Yeah. And I came up with a new ship name for Corin. Corvus and Sorin. Corin.
Yeah, that's not far-fetched, I would say.
So Corin are climbing it up this kind of spiral staircase. And when they get to the top, they open it and Ez lifts out a massive shiny stone. It's an aquamarine, which is like the ocean primal
stone.
And if you want to know more about that, there's a short story about how they got that. On the Dragon Prince website called Deep Below, and that's all about just them retrieving it. Because to us, like, watching the series right now, you don't know what it is, and it's just a shiny stone, and...
Exactly, yeah. I was, you know, this was one of my main questions.
Yeah.
I watched it, and I was like, what? What is this? Where did they got it from? Why are they on a mission already?
Yeah.
What happened? So, yeah. And then I wrote, I read the summary in the wiki that answered a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And we will, of course, put this in the show notes, the summary and the short story on the official website. So for me, it was clear that, okay, they don't have the map. They have to get other help. But who told them which one to ask? Which of the Archdragons? That was one question. Maybe Zubeya had in this case. And when I was reading the history, the short story or the summary, it's really sad with also Arrows and a bow. Rayla's parents are involved in the story. Para is helping and so on. So yeah, for me it was really sad but also interesting. And then you said a huge shell.
Yeah.
I think it's a clam.
Like a clam shell. Yeah.
Because the aquamarine stone looks like a pearl, you know, like for the clam.
Yeah, that makes sense. So they're like putting the pearl.
Or the beacon.
Yeah. Into the clam.
Yeah. Okay. It's like a huge Lighthouse.
Yeah.
And so one main question was, why do they carry the stone in its large box all the way to the top? Why not take out the stone?
Maybe, yeah.
And then carry the stone.
Yeah.
You know, like...
Yeah.
And then also, Esrin was surprised to see the stone, but they did see it before. They must have seen it before.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah, I didn't notice that he was surprised, but one thing I thought was maybe it wasn't glowing like that.
Ah, okay, maybe that may be true. Maybe it was glowing like that
because they're at the ocean.
True, because then the whole clam was beginning to glow.
Mm-hmm.
True, okay, that's one point, yeah, okay. But it looked really cool, the clam building. And there was also a short, deep sound from a shell on top of the staircase, whatever.
Yeah, the conch. Yeah. It was like a massive conch shell. Yeah.
And then the huge beam of light.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And in my notes for the beam of light, I have, like, I wrote that they opened a spirit portal. What it looks like.
Yeah.
Avatar.
Okay.
Because it basically looks the same, but it's just a massive light
shooting
up into the sky.
Yeah,
lots of questions, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, as I said, the story answers some of them, how they got it and everything. And then I wrote down they are waiting in the rain.
Yeah.
So like, nothing to do. And then suddenly the beacon goes away and Domina Profundis emerges and it's huge dragon.
Yeah.
I have to say a little bit bigger than Subeya even.
Mm-hmm.
With nice horns and whisks.
Whiskers.
Yeah, whiskers, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Or like feelers or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she is really annoyed because there is a child who asks her for something or sent for her. And Subeya explains that, yeah, he's a king. And then she listens. And basically, she doesn't know the location of Eroros, but what it is.
Yeah.
That's also interesting.
Yeah.
What the prison is. Like, yeah, is it? Yeah, what is it?
What could it be?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a riddle. And we don't know the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add when she was almost arrived, Domina Profundis, the spirit portal, I keep calling it the spirit portal. Yeah, anyway, the spirit portal, the beam of light starts to flicker and goes out. So I don't know if she kind of turns it off with her own magic or something, like, okay, that's enough. Or if the portal itself detects her or how that works. In my head, I'm like, okay, she turns it off because she's like, okay, I'm here now. And she also splashes Esrin and nearly knocks Esrin and Sorin off the walkway as well.
Not only Esrin, all of them.
All of them, yeah.
Except for Subeya.
But Sorin really almost falls off.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And she was really mean, actually.
Yeah, of course. But
how dare you summon me from my deep ocean where I don't want to see anyone, and yeah.
I think it's, so I read something in the wiki about, I think it's also in the story, she is annoyed by everyone, so she wants to, you know, don't help anyone, basically.
Yeah.
But only because of Beya asked and bled for, you know, can you help when we send for you?
Yeah.
And now they sent for her, and yeah, so I can understand the... Okay, so you have something, okay.
Yeah, so going on from that, I took part of the story, basically, that explains that, and I could just read it out.
Okay,
yeah?
Sure. Yeah.
So this is from Deep Below, the short story on the Dragon Prince website. Domina Profundis once called herself a protector of all Zadia. From the rain in the sky, to the lakes of the top mountains, to the rivers that brought their waters home to the sea, she helped the other archdragons keep the continent peaceful. And Subeya was her greatest friend. While Domina watched the waters above, a powerful leviathan called the Empress of the Deep protected the vast oceans in her stead. But the sea is full of mysteries, and a dangerous group of hunters, both human and elf alike, believed the Empress hid treasures beneath her waves. Before long, their curiosity turned to greed, They hunted the Empress with 100 ships. Powerful as she was, the Empress was outmatched. Though she called for the aid of Domina Profundus, the Archdragon came too late. She found the Empress dead. In her grief and fury, Domina drowned those 100 ships in a terrible storm, but it did not sate her anger nor her guilt. Domina declared that the sea would be her sole domain, and that she would never again leave its depths. Zobeir begged her not to go. Bitter and cold, Domina could not be dissuaded. She turned her back on her oldest friend, leaving her only with the Siren Stone as a means to reach her. "Summon me only if you must," Domina told her. "Leave me to the depths. Leave me alone."
Super sad, but completely explains why she is super annoyed by a kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if Zobeir wasn't there, I think she would kill everyone.
Yeah, totally. It was really good that Zobeir went with them.
Yeah. But now also we know that the Acromine Stone is called the Siren Stone.
Yes, true.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because that's not, they don't mention it in the in the chapter, do they?
Yeah, no. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, huge, huge story. Sad.
Sad, but really interesting.
Yeah.
And it's good to have more information.
Yeah. But as I said to you, I think yesterday, I want to watch this, you know?
Yeah.
I want to see it or not read it.
Yeah.
So, like, give me all the information, but in a video form.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame that the seasons are only 9 episodes.
Yeah. It's like manga and anime. I want to watch the anime.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's nice that they're adding more content. Maybe they struggled to for the amount of episodes they have. And there's just so much more that they want to tell. But of course, it would be way better if we just had more episodes explaining this rather than reading it.
There's only 2 more books coming out.
Mm-hmm.
6 and 7. And that's it.
Yeah.
So, of course. So, only 18 episodes. More chapters.
Yeah. My hope is a little bit... Or like, I was talking to my wife about it as well. And we were thinking maybe... You know, maybe with some of this stuff, there's going to be offshoot series and stuff because there's this whole world and they have so many stories. Like and they're showing us through all these extras that you can read online and stuff. Yeah, so maybe there will be more after the 7 seasons.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
Or books or comics.
Yeah.
Like Avatar.
But I guess the one advantage is that the story's moving on quite quickly.
Yeah, true. So they're not going around for several chapters through forest?
Yeah, to find the stone.
One dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, to find the Siren Stone, did you mean?
No, the last book I meant.
Yeah.
For Rex Igneous searching for, I don't know how many chapters, but too much.
Yeah, I'm glad we're not having another episode. Another set of episodes the same again. It's nice to have some change. So that was them, and there's not much more to say about that.
No. Yeah, I have Raylum.
Yeah.
Or Anti-Heroes or Luxuria. That's also...
Luxuria is very short.
It's super short, huh?
Okay, let's do Luxuria then.
Okay. Yeah, Kerim lost everything. He got stripped of everything. But not everything. Why is he not naked? Stripped of all possessions? Yeah, okay. And then you can run around with clothes and then maybe something hiding underneath the clothes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, why is he not naked? And also, he didn't think that Shanai is serious about banning him because he was saying, the guard was saying, if you come back. And then he was like, under penalty of banishing me again? No, under penalty of death.
Yeah.
Now it's serious.
He was a bit shocked about that.
Yeah.
But he, you know, they just had this massive battle and he was like, you have to finish it. You have to kill me, you know? So... I don't know, one minute he's like, yeah, kill me and whatever, and the next minute he's like, Shanai.
Yeah.
You're just gonna banish me again, sure. Yeah. And they took his ring.
Yeah.
Which was the Easter egg from the last chapter of the last season. Which it's still not clear what the significance of it is.
I just wrote down Tin Ring by his mother when he was a child. With the Bright Dragon Prince logo, Kaylee said in one of the last episodes. And then I was asking myself, why did the guard drop it on the floor? Who cleans up these things? Lying around. Like, what? Is there a basket?
Yeah, and he just said it belongs to Queen Janai now. And then he's like, oh.
Drop.
Maybe it would mean something to Janai as well if it was from their mother.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Rude.
Yeah.
So yeah. But anyway, weird. So the ring, who knows how significant or not that ring is.
Oh.
Okay, so that's the end of...
Maybe it's something for entrance, you know?
Like a key?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Opening something? Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Like, I have a feeling it's going to come back up at some point.
Yeah, or you can melt a tin and use it for something else. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, okay. Maybe it's overthinking.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Then let's go to the anti-heroes.
Okay.
Clary and Viren. Viren has dark magic sickness, and they need to get to the little brown island on the Sea of the Castout. And Terry says, you'd think that if dark magic does this to a person, they might not do it. Very smart, Terry.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And then we learn that it happens to everyone the first time they use dark magic. Because we saw it happen to Callum, but it wasn't clear that that's a everyone thing. And Claudia's theory is that after being dead for 2 years, that maybe it kind of reset him to having never used dark magic again. So Viren's going through his crazy hallucinogenic.
We go through it.
Yeah.
We only see it in the next chapter.
Okay, this is a setup for the next chapter.
It's just in the last chapter outro, you saw that Viren is collapsing.
Ah, true.
That's the thing. And yeah, so they obviously went for a bit after leaving the forest or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're still in the forest, I don't know. Yeah, only shortly after leaving Amator, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Straight after.
So, and my only question else was, did this also happen to Claudia? For sure, but we didn't see it, right?
We haven't seen it, We didn't see it happen.
Yeah.
She was already kind of quite deep into dark magic when we got to know her, I think.
Yeah.
And she's super stressed because she doesn't know what to do about Viren. Sorry, just continuing. And she's using her... No, there's no synonym for cinnamon.
Her mantra.
Mantra, was it.
Yeah.
But Terry kind of ruins it by telling her that in the Earthblood elf language, there are 15 different synonyms for cinnamon. So
17.
Oh, I'm sorry. 17 different synonyms for cinnamon.
Yeah, that's super funny. One thing to the map also, as I said in the last episode or something, it looked like a tiny piece of wood attached to it, and it's still there, right?
Yeah.
So it's not... So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, something.
Mm-hmm.
A 3D thingy.
3D something.
And I love how Sir Sparklepuff is doing everything like Claudia does. you can see him roaming in the distance. But still, even the mouth movements is visible. It's hilarious. I love the, you know, tiny details.
That's really nice, yeah. And she's copying Claudia. He's copying Claudia, and they... I talked about this other short story, I think, in our last episode, which is kind of about Claudia and Sir Sparklepuff a little bit, and this copying thing was also happening in that short story.
Ah, okay.
So it's nice to see that we get to see that in the series as well, and not just in the story.
True.
Because it does make you think a bit about their connection, and they seem more connected.
Totally. I have even more notes about this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, after moving on from the cinnamon, Terry wants to help Claudia because she's still super stressed about everything. Yeah, I still love the gestic gestures of Circus Sparkle Pups in the background. Also fingers on the knees, like sitting there, waiting mm-hmm. and you know doing something on
tapping
on the knees. Yeah. And then also takes the hint to leave them alone. So Circus Sparkle Puffs falls back from the log where they're sitting.
True, yeah.
To just, okay, you want to be alone? Or Terry wants to be alone with Claudia and help? So, okay, I move out of the way and leave them alone.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Bye! Like,
yeah, but also, you know, like, really getting everything.
Mm-hmm.
The emotions and stuff. Yeah. Really, really sensible.
So Sparkle Puff has some empathy.
Yeah. Yeah, then we learn about the Earthblood mechanisms to fix anxiety
or it's stress. So nice. Yeah.
First, aroma therapy with leaves. that's quite nice. Round pebbles, mm-hmm. which are awesome, I think.
Yeah, super smooth, super nice.
Then the bubble poppies, which is bubble wrap.
Nice.
And a huge adore purr, maybe a cat, like
definitely,
you know, like yeah, super cute.
Yeah, and it really helps her to get relieved.
Uh-huh.
And she's feeling a lot more optimistic after this. And they're sitting by the fire, and Sparkle Puff is looking like he's gonna throw up. When she says, everything's going to be fine. And I was wondering, like, is Sparkle Puff bored? Like, does he have a headache? Because he's, like, gripping his head and he's just like, oh. And then he starts screaming, blood of child! And it's the first time we've heard Sparkle Puff say anything.
So. Yeah. And even they are like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, they just grab each other and kind of crawl away.
Yeah, like,
back away.
But first, so Sparkle Puff was mimicking in the background that petting the Andorra Pearl, like
true.
Claudia.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, one moment later, mimicking death, you know, like choking or something, falling over. But I was not sure if it was because... after this petting scene or after Claudia says sweet little guy or everything is going to be fine. So what caused Sir Sparkle Puff to react like this?
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
It's a bit of a mystery. Yeah. Blood of child and I really think I thought he was doing the typical like, oh, they're having an intimate moment, like, how boring, or like, whatever, but...
But why would he,
exactly.
you know, leave them to their space, to their time?
No, it didn't make any sense.
So, yeah, and then suddenly, Blood of Child, Witch Child, Ezran, Sim, Callum even, maybe, because I think it was a message from Arrows.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it seems to be...
Because Circus Sparkle Puff is connected... To Eros, and even has the Star Touch Elf logo on its chest,
mm-hmm.
or his chest.
Mm-hmm.
I think
learn how to speak, and it's weird that that's the only thing that he can say.
Yeah, like after you know, like being calm and relaxed.
Mm.
Yeah, I think it has to be a message or something, and. A hint of what should they prepare to get Eros out of his prison.
Yeah, and especially since he's kind of like the guide for them.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes sense.
But yeah, which blood? Ezran, because he can speak with animals, or King. Sim, because magic and dragon prince and I don't know. Callum, maybe because of the influence already. You know, the puppet of Eros already. Mm-hmm. Are there other childs? Like...
Not currently.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Maybe it will get revealed one chapter later, but these are just my assumptions. I don't know.
No, it's good to hear what your theories are. I mean, I've seen more episodes than you, so I don't want to
Yeah, sure.
Say too much, but yeah, no, it's, yeah, it is very interesting, and I also was very confused by it.
Yeah.
And luckily, it's been a while since I saw the episodes, and I can't really remember much, so we will see.
Yeah. Okay, and then let's move on to Raylan. Yeah, Rayla is doing a sacred promise to find out what happened to the creatures in the coins, like her parents and Ronan. And Stella is helping, and Bait are helping her to create a portal for hiding the sack of coins and being a use of diversion. Because Callum is entering the room.
Yeah.
And my question was, why is she hiding it? Why doesn't she ask for help? But yeah, maybe she wants to do this on her own.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it feels a bit of a... It feels like a bit of a time waster, this one.
Exactly.
Because she's making out that she's doing it because she wants to like focus on finding Aravos, actually. Because that's their main goal, you know? But actually, maybe Callum just has an answer.
Or, yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, like, exactly.
Just share it. I mean,
oh, also, I read this in a book.
Yeah. Like, it's also only a, like, a few minute discussion, and then Callum kind of understands how Rayla's doing at the moment and stuff.
Exactly.
And, you know.
But of course,
it's good to share.
Yeah, if she wants to... Maybe they are not on this kind of level yet, you know, because of Callum reacting like he did.
Yeah, because of her going away.
Yeah, so that's the reason, maybe? Yeah, we can only assume.
Yeah, totally. I mean, she, yeah, and she's been on her own for the last 2 years, so maybe she's just not, in the zone of asking for help yet.
But when you say that, she could have her own mission instead of focusing on task at hand, like getting more info about Aurora's prison, she said something, also, Yusuf, while the others are on a mission, and what are they doing? Callum is learning something about the ocean arcanum, but is it the most important task at hand, you know? Like, why is Callum trying to learn ocean magic instead of figuring out more hints to get errors? Because Gladia and Rune have the map, so one step ahead. How to kill a Star Church elf.
Yeah, for example. But I guess until Ezrin comes back... There's not much they can do other than... Yeah, but yeah,
other you're than right. Learning.
Yeah, other than learning. And
going to the library, like Callum does, but...
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. I'm not sure, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Do something, people.
Yeah.
And yeah, we get Callum's nice poem.
Yeah, that's really nice, huh?
Do not ask why the ocean is blue or why the tides their time do keep. To love is simply to know this. The tides are true as the ocean is deep.
Out of this...
the sea shanty book. Yeah. Sorry, did I take that off you?
Is it a big book of ocean poems? Uh-huh. It's got everything from ocean odes to salty sonnets to sea shanties.
Yeah. Okay, I just have another note for Rayla. She's wearing a new moon shoulder pad. Right shoulder, and it's like white, and it's the moon magic symbol. And she's also sleeping in Ezrin's old room.
Yeah, that I wrote down afterwards. Yeah, exactly. With the small clap.
The bait door, yeah. Oh. So the next, so it moves on, and Callum's in the library looking at one of the old volumes with a page about Aravos, and as he's trying to read it, it disappears.
Yeah.
And before Yana says anything, because I know Yana has a lot to tell us about this, this is exactly the same thing that happens to Viren in Book 2 Sky, Chapter 8, The Book of Destiny, and Viren looks in this exact same book, and the same thing happens, that the information about Aravos...
Is it the same page even?
It's the same page.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I looked back and...
Okay. Yeah, cool. Nice. Yeah, it gets so revealed that Apparently, StarTouch Elves place a spell on any books about them to prevent anyone from knowing any of their weaknesses. That's interesting. And then I went into a rabbit hole. Because for a short moment, it's visible. The text is visible, at least for us. And we can stop or pause this moment. And yeah, I looked at the frame and found out that the book is written in Dansk.
Danish?
Danish. Yeah, Dansk is the Danish word for Danish.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is the book in Danish? And Everest looks like a deer in the book, I also wrote down. So that's also interesting. And there's also the StarTouch logo, StarTouch Elf logo. So, and the page reads a lot of Danish stuff. And I had trouble to finding out the right letters. Like, some of them looked like a R, but were an N. So I had to go through everything again and replace it. Some letters are special, like the A and the E are written together.
Okay.
And some A's have a circle above them, or the O's have a slash through the middle.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Ö in German then,
yeah.
Apparently. And yeah, so I will put the Danish one, the Danish transcript in the show notes. And I use Google Translate to do a translation. It's not so much interesting stuff, and there are no weaknesses yet, so at least I couldn't find anything. But yeah, I can read it. Sorry for any mistakes. Google is at fault here. Finally, he told me his name. I had never heard a name like this, but I never had either imagined an elf like him. He is stronger, older, and wiser than anything else or anything other magical creature in Xadia. Everyone knew he is a friend to all people. Where others see down on us, calling us inferior, he sees big potential in us. When we take against the offerings Eroros have promised us, they must pay for their conceit, they will be forced to see us as equal. And when we are equal, can we take our fate into our own hearts and build our future. I can see it in my mind, my dreams, a magnificent, glorious city, the pride of all mankind. A place where we no longer want to be forced to hide, frozen and afraid of the elves and dragons' prejudices. A place that can stand against any abuse and stand in the history of humanity for generations. It won't be easy, but with help from our benefactor. So, some mistakes, but yeah, I think you get the gist.
Just, yeah, just. No, that's right. Yeah, no, really cool. It's basically kind of what Claudia always says about dark magic, huh?
Yeah,
that
yeah.
Before dark magic, so before Aravos helped them, that humans didn't have any power and were looked down on and stuff like that. So it's a very similar kind of praise of Aravos, interestingly. And it's not like a warning or anything.
Yeah. But yeah, I was wondering about the city. That's interesting. And maybe there's a mistake in the last sentence, because the second last word is not completely visible.
Hmm.
The first letter is maybe a V, not sure. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's completely different, but
yeah.
Not sure. Yeah.
Well, thank you for putting the effort in. That was a really cool thing.
Yeah.
To type it all out by yourself and stuff. It'd be interesting to see if maybe someone who can speak Danish and English has a look at it, if they change anything, but it makes sense as it is anyway.
Yeah, I want to ask my friend, because they can, or friends,
yeah,
they can speak both languages. Yeah, I can do this and put it also in the show notes.
That's just really interesting, and I think it's also something that we could share with the wiki, potentially.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of extra work.
And we could look up the Book 2, Sky, Chapter 8, the Book of Destiny, again, to see if the second last word is fully
readable.
Visible.
Ah, yeah, good idea.
Because first I had to go frame by frame, because Callum was holding his hand on the book,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't make out anything, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then one scene later, the whole page is visible for a short moment, and this was a huge facepalm moment for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so anyway.
Maybe we can put a screenshot of that.
Oh yeah, true.
In the show notes as well.
That's a good idea.
So that we can so people can see it. Because I had had a look at it, I think originally in that episode from season two, and I had paused it and I'd had a look, and I thought that it was kind of jumbled up letters because I don't know Danish at all. And I just saw some letters and I was like, okay, well, that doesn't make any sense. But it's really cool then that you realized that it was Danish. How did you realize?
Because I have friends in Denmark, mm-hmm. and I can speak tiny words, tuck. And
but that means also that you can read some Danish as
well. Yeah, because it's really, so like, if you read the Danish thing, you can make out some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, endelig is the first word, mm-hmm. and this completely sounds like Danish.
Okay.
Or Scandinavian.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but it's cool that it kind of rang a bell with you, and you're like, oh, well, I know what this is.
Yeah, exactly. And then also, for Elvernes og Tragenes for Domme. I don't know if this is speaking correctly, but Elvernes, elves, og Tragenes, dragons. Completely.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And best word, longest one, Menneskeligdets. Yeah. So I love Danish. It's a cool language.
Yeah, great.
And on the one page, you see the transcript in, you can read everything. But on the other side, this is garbage.
Okay.
Like, only...
Just a mishmash of letters and stuff.
Some pictures, but garbage, mm-hmm. basically.
Or some language that we don't know.
No, you can't read. Maybe like doctor's signatures.
Okay.
Like, a whole page of doctor's signatures.
Okay.
So... If you can read that, okay, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, cool, Jana, thank you.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so where were we?
There was also a short interaction with the librarian.
Yeah.
Because Callum was shouting at the volumes. And that's it from this scene in my notes.
Okay.
Do you have anything else?
No, that's the last thing I have for that scene as well.
Yeah.
So it pans across Catullus again and it's stormy and rainy. And maybe that kind of mirrors Rayla's kind of mood, or like she's kind of being sneaky and I don't know. Anyway, she sneaks into the High Mage room. Because she'd taken the key from Callum, and oh no, or have they not seen each other yet? Yeah, at this point she already has the key, right?
And no, she.
I don't have it in my notes. Okay, let's rewind.
Yeah, so Rayla wants to get into the ruins hideout, but she is standing in front of the painting with the kid and the sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wants to do a search of the office, and I was just wondering how many portals does Stella have, and because she also hides one nail, mm-hmm. so the contents, at least at this point in my opinion, is a sack with coins, one nail, and some magic stones.
Yeah,
from the last
yeah
book.
Yeah, can keep a note.
It's
of all
really
things.
Interesting, like, as we said, Hermione's
Hermione's bag.
Bag?
Yeah.
Really interesting. And then afterwards, Rayla tries to get the key.
Ah, that's it.
By making a diversion or something, but stumbling against him, and then Stella steals the key.
Yeah, that's right.
In one of her portals.
Yeah, I just realized when I was printing out my notes that I'd somehow moved this, like this part of my notes had slipped.
Ah, okay.
To some other part of the text, so I have it here as well.
And that's why it's oops.
That's okay. What, oops.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and before she steals the key, she also says that maybe it's a good idea to look for the first elves, and then Callum runs off.
True.
To give him
a hint. Yeah, true. Yeah. Right.
Okay, so then they're in, so Stella and Rayla,
mm-hmm.
and then she does the rock, rock, stone, rock, stone, stone. Mm-hmm. And gets the stairs to go down into the cellar, into the crypt. But they only work 4/5 of the way down, and she has to, like, jump the last little bit.
Why was it like this?
Why didn't it work?
Yeah.
Don't know. It's old.
Because I went down, why are the steps not going all the way down?
Yeah.
Did Rirren have to climb when he wants to get up? You know, like...
Yeah, no, it definitely worked in Viren's time. I bet no one's looking after it anymore, you know? It's just, maybe it needed greasing with some, like, peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
Or
toenails.
Some creepy eyes or, something. Yeah, so she wants to figure out... If she can figure out how the coins were made, she can reverse it. And we see some horrible things and peanut butter, which Stella likes. Now we know something about Stella. Stella really likes peanut butter.
Oh.
And
Bait also, right?
Bait likes everything, but yeah.
Okay, yeah.
For sure. And then they find another coin, which has a human face, which then moves. Freaky.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some red spiders. I don't know if we've seen them before.
But they were also entrapped in this glass.
No, they were just running around.
No, they were entrapped in the glass.
Yeah?
She
knocked it over.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a random glass.
No.
Okay.
No.
So they were some sort of dark magic in game.
Yeah, exactly.
As well.
Also, I was thinking that the human in the coin looked a little bit like her.
Yeah, there's some similarities. Yeah. I thought the same, yeah.
Yeah. But we learn about this later.
Later.
Yeah.
And then Rayla finds Runan's bow, has a cry, and talks to Runan. And she actually sees him and her parents, which is very much... It reminded me of Harry Potter, the Mirror of Erised. Because they're just standing there and not saying anything and just kind of nodding and smiling at her. And it was one of these moments, and she was talking to them and explaining that the world needs her, and that then she will figure out a way of helping them to escape from the coins. Yeah, so that was a very emotional moment.
Yeah, true. Fully, yeah. I also, when you say something about Harry Potter, I think it could also be the part where Harry Potter gets visited by the last people who were killed with the magic wand.
Yeah.
And they also spoke to him, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
True. Harry Potter feels with this scene, for sure.
And then I read something about in the wiki that they support her in her choice to first get Araros and then help them get off.
Yeah, they were very, like, they were nodding supportively and understandingly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until... Opelli captures her.
Yeah, in my notes I have, Opelli, chill, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. That was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why is there this mistrust, you know, of Rayla?
Yeah, I mean, Opelli has a lot of responsibility, huh? And she's also taking over as kind of regent while Ez is off doing stuff.
Yeah, but they were in a group together, and Rayla could have the opportunity to kill everyone all the time.
Yeah, totally.
Why is she now mistrusting her?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Chill, Malabali.
Yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Calm down. Yeah, but it's kind of suspicious behavior. I mean, because she's also not told anyone about it and stuff. But yeah. Opelli, Rayla's on our side, and she's saved the king and prince a bunch of times, and yeah, she's earned trust for sure. Which Callum then says when he comes up. But first of all, he gets sent a message by Crow from, what's he called? The Assistant Crow Lord?
Now? Associate Crow Lord.
That's it, the Associate.
Standing a few meters away. Hilarious.
Why are you sending me messages by Crow? Yeah, good question, Callum.
Yeah, but first running around with Lost Secrets of Sadia by D.Geal. Geal, something.
Yeah, I wrote it down. D.GIF.HL.
Ah, okay. For me, it was just D.GIEHL.
Hmm. Maybe it was an E. Yeah. Don't know. That would maybe make more sense.
Like Daniel
D. Gier. Yeah, that makes more sense. Gier. Who's D. Gier? Yeah, anyway. It was just clear enough that it's like it's there for a reason, you know? It's probably some reference.
I think when Claudia was reading in the first chapter something on the bench outside the, or inside the castle, maybe it was the same book.
Maybe it's the same
book. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like they put so many references in in this series.
Maybe to we other should. Stuff. Sorry.
Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah, maybe we should rewatch everything and write down all the titles and also keep a list of titles.
Yeah, definitely. We could do like we could do
Stella's
so much.
Inventory.
Yeah.
And book titles.
Let's see if we have the energy to do that. But
probably not.
But we've got some stuff written down. Yeah. Let's see. Maybe we can just type it into a search engine and see if something comes up.
Yeah.
So, secret crow messages and Rayla's been captured. I've said too much.
Yeah.
The crow associate crow lord is just very, very hilarious. Odd. Very funny, very odd.
And then I was wondering, is the librarian magic?
Why?
She appeared out of the blue behind the associate crow lord.
And just
what the fuck?
Yeah.
And was like, shh, shh.
She's very sneaky.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very funny.
No. You couldn't see her.
Yeah, she just appeared.
Yeah, she.
Yeah.
So she's magic.
She's magic. Okay. Maybe she has some book magic. It's a whole other primal that we didn't know existed.
Uh-huh. Awesome.
So then we've got Callum. Defending Rayla, Apelli refers to her as the Moon Shadow Elf rather than her name. And yeah, she had the weapon that killed Harrow. And Callum says that he trusts her unconditionally. Let her go now. So that's really cool. And Rayla was really appreciative, although she'd already gotten out of the handcuffs.
Of course.
By herself.
Yeah. But it was a super cool scene. I wrote down a heart because there's a Raylan moment, I think. And also a recital of the poem, the tides are through as the ocean is deep. So, yeah, okay, she is not telling everything, but does she have to?
Yeah.
Okay, so I wrote down all the information about the first elves is in the scrolls of the first elves. Sounded a little bit like the game The Elder Scrolls, but yeah, could be just a scroll name.
Yeah.
There is a great bookery in Luxoria, so that's what they are trying to find out next. In the next chapter, this is a quest.
Yeah, next quest.
Next quest. Bait and Stella cuddle, also cute, and Rayla has Ezran's old room.
Yeah, and it's cute that how it ended, you know. Want to go to Sadia with me?
Yeah, through the bait door.
Yeah, true, yeah, that's nice. Credits, and I could also do overarching themes.
Credits first, I have the coin with the entrapped human.
Sparklepuff snuggles Adorapur. Like you said, it was pretending to do
in
the background.
The flubber map to the prison.
The ring.
Calrim's ring. Callum having a bath and reading a book about the ocean arcanum. Is it Callum?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why does he have a tattoo?
Oh, I didn't see. Was it just a rune?
No. It's a huge tattoo on his arm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We have to look back at it.
Yeah, but I couldn't figure out what it looked like exactly, but it was definitely something.
Okay, and it wasn't his wing arcanum tattoo, like things that he has painted on his arms sometimes?
Maybe.
For flying?
Maybe. I am something.
Okay,
something.
That's a question for the next podcast. We can clear that up.
Yeah.
I have to make a note of that. And then the last picture is Domina Profundis sitting at the Shell Tower.
Yeah.
So all I have for overarching themes for this is deep trust. I mean, the episode's called Domina Profundus because of the dragon, and but profundus is like profound, like deep. And for me, yeah, it was a lot about trust, and yeah, that's as far as I got.
Okay, I just wrote down Domina Profundus is Latin for Lady of the Deep. Yeah, anything else? Question mark?
Yeah.
What you just said. Other names of her is Great Domina Profundus. So, like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's great. She's Domina Profundus.
Best, greatest Domina
Profundus. And I have the IMDb rating, which is 7.5.
Okay.
I think it's better rated than some of the episodes from the last season already.
Okay. Moving on to chapter 2, Old Wounds. Okay, we have three groups, Esran and Co. I would do first because it's super short, random anti-heroes.
Let's do it.
Okay. Esran and Co., Esran prepares for his big speech to other dragons. Zoran tries to light up the situation with poop jokes. That's basically it.
Yeah, that's basically all that happens. Yeah, we don't have to go into that.
It's hilarious, but yeah, that's
but, you know, if you've watched it, you've been there, you laughed.
Yeah.
But like the, I shall not be deterred.
Yeah.
Deterred.
Yeah.
I didn't get it the first time I watched it. That was like, huh?
Yeah. I also had to watch it again, and then in the subtitles it was the normal word, but Corvus said it like he meant. Yeah, exactly. Okay, Raylan. Finally, they're on a mission again, alone, together.
By the way, the storm is over and the dawn is rising.
And we learned that Rayla doesn't like mornings. She acts like she has a huge hangover or something.
And Callum pats his horse. Balaam? Bait is sleeping on his lap and his stuff's like tucked into a pocket on the horse. And he's busy loving the morning. And Rayla's like, could you possibly love the morning more quietly?
And then we have Barris, who wants them to give her proper farewell gifts, with Apelli also standing nearby. Of course, hot brown morning potion.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, and also a new tart or new specialty.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure about the names at first. Pastry rings, whole cakes, circle sweets, or sugar wheels. Now it's Doyos.
Doyos.
Which could be donuts.
I think so.
Yeah. And they really taste amazing, and everyone should get them. Also, Esran should get it, because Opelli is sending a note to the Stormspire to say that the mage is on a quest.
Yeah. Yeah, she's very formal, isn't she, Opelli?
I think Opelli should use bobble poppies.
Yeah, chill out, Opelli. It's all fine. Yeah, maybe she needs some of the relaxing strategies that Terry uses.
Yeah.
We can recommend them to her the next time we see her.
Yeah.
Are you going to Zadia just for a book? No. For books.
Basically.
Then they're in the forest.
Instead of sleeping on the grass again, maybe they could get to a nearby inn, and everyone is has sparkly enemy eyes, and Rayla is okay. Yeah, let's do this, you softies. Oh yeah, was soft and cuddly.
It was won over by the free breakfast, I think. And also, the house in the clearing and stuff, it looks so pretty. It's like this dream house. And I had a look because it really reminded me of the house, of Belle's house in Beauty and the Beast. So I had a look, and it is basic. It's very similar.
I just want to say Disney house.
Yeah.
But maybe, you know, Disney houses in the forest alone, maybe not the best idea.
Could be a witch living in there.
Could be a Lebkuchenhaus. Maybe.
True.
Yeah.
It looks very similar. I think it's definitely kind of the feel that we're trying to go for anyway.
And I think it was a good choice because they had tiny soaps, breakfast, and mints on the pillows. As on the usual hotel things lying around.
But Rayla is super excited about that.
Yeah, because she sleeps without a pillow.
Yeah.
Without a blanket,
yeah.
Only just on the bed.
She's a serious assassin, Jana.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Or just on the grass. So, yeah. Then they ride through the connection between Catullus and Xadia.
I'm still calling it the breach. It's near where the breach was, so in my notes it's the breach.
Okay, yeah.
Bring the breach back into use, people.
True. News from the breach. This place is a scar. Dark magic created this. But it's a bridge between our worlds. So also the wound is healing, I think, because there's even a flower in the scar for shattering of hope.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. And for me, that was a bit of like magic crossing the border. I was imagining that it's like a magic flower. I don't know.
Ah, yeah,
maybe
yeah,
it'll spread into the human lands as well.
Yeah. Or maybe into a different, you know, like the beanstalk to a house or a castle in the sky.
Yeah, could be.
Maybe. Very Disney-like.
Very Disney-like. So, yeah, the sky looks the same in Xadia. And then we get learn a bit about the constellations. The big spoon. In elf language is Garlath the Annihilator.
Really dramatic. I was wondering if it's the same star constellation we have. The big spoon looked a little bit like the wagon.
The wagon. Okay,
yeah,
that's the plow in English.
Ah, okay. Or a bear. Tiny little bear or something.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't know. I don't know bear. Don't know the constellations well enough.
But, yeah.
I looked and it didn't look similar enough to me.
Okay, okay.
But I think it was going for a similar feel for sure.
So that's interesting. And the South Star... We have the North Star.
Yeah, it's the navigating star.
Yeah, it's Leola's last wish in elf language. And the big spoon handle is Garlath Bandolier of Skulls. So also really, what the fuck?
I looked up what bandolier means because I didn't know. And where is it? I did put it somewhere.
I had garment in my notes.
It's basically a belt that you wear over your shoulders with various, like, pockets for weapons and stuff.
Okay, yeah, interesting.
But I had the specific... Ah, here we go. Bandolier, a shoulder belt with loops and straps for cartridges.
And...
But full of skulls.
His is full
of skulls.
And then there's Naga, which is super cool.
So Claudia puts... Rayla puts her head on Callum's shoulder.
Yeah.
And then Callum puts his head on Rayla's head.
Yeah.
It's nice.
But also the Bait and Stella.
Too.
And then they are also yawning. The animals are yawning. And then there's a nice scene change to Claudia yawning.
Yeah, true. That's
so,
nice.
But yeah, we will go through them in a short moment. Because there's one scene left. Callum wakes up from maybe nightmare and maybe dreaming of Garlath. Because he was like, ugh!
Yeah.
And saying Garlath. And a wild animal appears, Pokemon style. It's a corrupted Banta. And I read something about it in the wiki. The Banta is named after a combination of the words bear and Panta, which refers to producer Justin Santistefan's childhood fear of bears and producer Aaron... Yeah, I can't speak the...
Aaron Ehas.
Yeah. Horrible last names. Fear of Pantas.
Yeah.
And we knew this already because there's Banta and the Aesrim and Banta Lodge in Catullus.
Yeah. Aesrim was riding Banthas and is friends with Banthas.
Yeah. Okay.
But
this one is corrupted.
This one is corrupted and it kills Callum's horse as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So it kills Callum's horse. They're running off. They realize they left bait when they're both on Rayla's mount.
True.
And then they're running back to get bait. Bait's running towards them. And then Rayla somehow gets the mount to, like, slide under the panther.
Yeah.
And grabs bait. The classic swoop and scoop.
Yeah.
Callum then tries Aspero, but it's lurching around too much. And then he takes the reins. Rayla stands up on the back of the mount, fires arrows at the panther, doesn't do anything. And then Stella hands her the super special arrow with a red tip and an extra extendy bit. It gets, like, longer. Then we get a nice slow motion shot of the panther leaping above. Looks like it's about to, like, land on them. And her shooting the arrow into the panther's chest, which explodes. And somehow it stumbles off and it's still alive.
And but still corrupted.
Yeah. And Rayla kind of whispers, thanks, Athari.
Yeah.
Athari made the arrow, which saved them.
And Stella had it in her pocket.
Yeah.
Pocket.
I think it was in Rayla's arrow thing.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but we could look back at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and did you already said it reminded you of Princess Mononoke? No.
No.
Totally. This corrupted animal.
Oh god, it was horrible, like, movie. As a, like, awesome movie, but
really hard. Yeah. Yeah,
really hard.
So it was like the corrupted animals in Princess Mononoke. So Princess Mononoke is one of my favorite films.
Yeah.
I watch it at least once a year. It's one of my kind of not a guilty pleasure, because it's actually just really awesome.
I watched it once, yeah. And I was so disturbed by it. Of course, I expected a little bit more child story,
yeah.
You know, like Disney stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay, it's Japanese Ghibli studio. Yeah. So yeah, of course, yeah. What did I expect? So yeah, okay, maybe we should watch this sometime.
My next watching we can watch together.
Nice.
But I absolutely love that film. And yeah, so the corrupted animal we see at the beginning of Princess Mononoke is the boar god called Nago. And he was shot with an iron shot.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what corrupted him and kind of turned him evil.
Okay.
Not evil, but like into this kind of monster thing. So it's nice, this parallel, because it's like, yeah, the banthas aren't bad, you know? Banthas wouldn't just attack random people, but it's corrupted by something. And then it's obviously the question, what's corrupting it then? But I really love this visual. I really love that they've kind of taken this from Ghibli and kind of
totally
redone it, because it's it's also a very powerful visual.
Yeah.
And in Princess Mononoke, then when you touch the, you know, this kind of black goop and stuff, you also get corrupted and stuff. So then it's like questions, is this also going to happen?
Yeah.
Lots of questions.
We see also the banta emitting dark things, clouds, something. And I want to add, the arrow looked like a crab.
Yeah.
Like claw.
Yeah, true, like pincers. Yeah. Okay, and one last thing. Scoop and swoop, which is what they say. Classic swoop, scoop and swoop. I looked it up because I was like, is there a classic swoop and scoop? Or is this something Callum just made up? And actually, a scoop and swoop, according to the internet, is just a way of adjusting your breasts from your sides into the center to ensure that all your breast tissue is contained in your bra cups. So that's the scoop and swoop.
The classic swoop and scoop.
Yeah, totally nice. Different.
Awesome. Okay, let's move on to the anti-heroes.
Yeah.
We have Claudia and Terry fighting a little bit about how they should move on. Slow and steady wins the race. Like the tortoise and the hare or something.
Yeah.
Or fast wins the race.
Yeah. Yeah, why do people always say slow and steady wins the race? Yeah. I like how Terry kind of reacts to Claudia, though, and says, I'm hearing you. The situation is urgent and you're worried I'm not treating it that way. And I think Terry's an expert in nonviolent communication.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Very much like, okay, I'm listening, you know. This I realize this isn't really about me. Really, yeah. Good, Terry.
Totally. And together they try to lift up Viren.
Yeah, and they both are on one side and Sparklepuff behind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Slow and steady. Yep. Yes. Yeah. Then they off they go. And then we get Viren dream falling through memories of the castle. And the images, like, it looks like it's being projected onto the castle.
Mm-hmm.
And the images is Viren and Harrow being painted. Sarai saving him from Avizandam. Like, she's reaching down from her horse to pick him up. Meeting Aravos, kind of, for the first time. When Aravos is behind in the mirror and still has the hood up. Making his lava army, doing the horrible spell with his big bug friend around his shoulders. And he ends up standing by the mirror and he says, so here we are again, but now I'm on the other side. And then he says this thing of, every step I took because I had to. And then that ends with him hearing, Daddy! Daddy!
Yeah. I was wondering, so first he trips over a rock in real life.
Yeah.
And then also trips over in daydreaming or whatever.
Yeah.
What's in the mirror? Is it Eros? Because this other side of the mirror,
mm-hmm.
is he now in Eros' prison and Eros is in reality?
Like he's trapped in his place.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I hadn't thought of it like that. Yeah, it could be. I mean, it's also symbolic, huh? It's a dream for Viren.
Yeah.
But
does he know that he's dreaming?
No. Yeah. I mean, Callum also didn't know that he was dreaming when he had it, huh? It's just like an experience that they have to go through. Yeah, no, interesting. I like that.
Yeah,
the way that you put it.
Yeah.
So just to go on to this, that we also know later in the credits, there's references to Mad Men, and this is the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole scene with him falling mm-hmm. and on the buildings and stuff, it's a direct spoof of the Mad Men introduction.
Okay.
Like the intro. I've never seen Mad Men. I only found this out from the internet. I think saw it on the wiki.
Yeah.
Which they finally updated, by the way.
Yeah.
Finally. I mean, they were quicker than we were, but still. So it's the intro to Mad Men, and I watched it. I can put the link in the show notes, and it's like 1-to-1, but with Dragon Prince.
Okay.
And instead of it being the castle, it's like modern buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
So this isn't the first Mad Men reference, but like it is the first Mad Men reference and there's more coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also never saw the movie.
It's a series.
Series. Okay. Yeah.
So Clary, stuff and rest. And there's a family of crabs and everyone needs rest, not just Claudia. And then it's back in Viren's head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Viren's looking for the child that's saying, Daddy, Daddy.
And you keep moving?
Yeah, I think he says at this point, yeah, you keep moving. Because Terry says we have to keep... No, yeah. Claudia says
we have Claudia to keep says, moving. And then he says, why do you keep moving?
That's right, yeah.
And then he falls over and...
And then he ends up in the dungeon. Like, not the dungeon, but the crypt where he did his weird, you know, spells and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And finds Kapar, who is the person in the coin.
Yeah.
In this new coin, it's the same. It's the same face.
The coin that Rayla found.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a new introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And Kapar says, "My most enthusiastic student returns. Such elegant finery. You've overcome the disadvantages of your upbringing." So this is interesting. This is someone from Viren's past, like a mentor or something.
Yeah.
And if he ended up as a coin, the student has become the master and like ends up t- taking his soul by the looks of it. Anyway, interesting foreshadow.
The relationship didn't go well.
No. And foreshadow, and also just history. Like, is it foreshadowing if it's the past? No.
Maybe.
Past shadowing.
Yeah. But also it's interesting with the glowings that now it's finery or something elegant.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also saying something about bad upbringings.
Yeah.
So I think Viren's childhood wasn't the best, I would say.
Yeah, he'd said something at some point about being an orphan.
Oh, really? Okay.
When he took over the throne, because they said only orphans can do it, you know?
Interesting.
Unless they're, like, related to the previous king.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he was just being clever, you know, like, okay, yeah, my parents died. Maybe they died when he was an adult, we don't know. But maybe he was actually an orphan as a kid as well. Not sure.
No.
Anyway, so that leads us into lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know definitely. Who this person is exactly.
Yeah. Also, there is something was about his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Bandage arm was the result of an ancient and disturbing practice.
Mm-hmm.
What is this about?
Don't okay. know. Yeah, some sort of dark magic something. One of my many mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if he was referring to Viren as being one of his mistakes.
Okay.
And he knew Viren would go far, but didn't know how far he would go to get there. And then Viren says this again about having no choice. And then Kapar says, you made the choice you've always made for more power.
Mm-hmm.
And then Viren says, no, I did it for my family. And then he says again, mm-hmm. this thing of however dangerous, however vile.
Super interesting.
Yeah. So he keeps repeating this narrative, which is interesting. Because I think I mentioned in the last episode that I recently rewatched Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very Walter White. Because Walter says all the way through the series, like, I had no choice. He did make these choices, but he always did it for his family.
That's like, every right. villain in every
it's true.
Something.
It's true. But with Walter, he really does say it kind of every episode.
Yeah,
and then at the end, he finally admits that he didn't do it just for his family.
Yeah.
He also liked it. So anyway, Viren's a bit of a Walter White for me at the moment.
But it's also interesting that he's always saying this, even when dreaming or...
Yeah.
You know, he sticks to it.
He's telling himself.
Or like this.
Yeah.
To assure him.
Yeah.
Maybe. Interesting.
So Clary carry Viren through the rain. We see like a scorched forest. It's kind of a bit of a like passing of time. I guess they're carrying him a long way. And then we hear thunder. And then Viren's sitting suddenly in the throne. And then there's all these flashes and stuff. And it made me think of like he was having photos taken,
mm-hmm.
but I kind of thought back about it and yeah, I was going to criticize it because they don't have cameras then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but it was just weird light flashing. And maybe it was because of the thunder and lightning that's going on in the real world at the time while they're carrying him.
Mm-hmm.
They were walking through a thunderstorm.
Someone
so maybe that's how it was crackling into his like subconscious.
No.
But yeah, this scene is very bizarre and is a direct reference from Twin Peaks.
Uh-huh.
So this scene is in the Black Lodge in Twin Peaks, and it's a character called Cooper. It's a dream he has,
uh-huh.
basically. And it's like one-to-one, like the decorations, the carpets, and the characters, and in the Twin Peaks thing, so, is it okay if I go into this now?
Yeah, sure.
So Sparklepuff in this does like a little dance as well, and in the dream in Twin Peaks, there's a person who does like a little dance, and it's also hard to understand, like mm-hmm. Sparklepuff is hard to understand.
Ah, okay, interesting.
And yeah, so it happens like this, he's sitting in the throne, there's this flashing lights and stuff, And then Apelli comes and is like stroking a log, which is weird.
Which is super weird.
Ah, and Kapar's standing next to the throne and says like, well, introducing King Viren or something. All hail King Viren.
And a little bit in backwards, reverse.
Part of it in reverse and part of it.
So I think they recorded it also in reverse and then played it normally to make it sound weird.
Which is also what they did in Twin Peaks.
Exactly.
The character who does the dance is also it's recorded like that. Super weird.
Super weird.
I didn't know anything about Twin Peaks. Now I'm kind of intrigued, but I also kind of don't want to watch it at all.
Yeah.
not a fan of David Lynch, but no offense to anyone who is. I don't really understand it. But anyway.
Who does?
David Lynch?
I watched some of the movies. I watched the one with a clown or something in I can't remember, but it was really long, and then I even went to the cinema to watch a 3-hour long movie. And the rabbits, that was super weird, and Dune is also from David Lynch, the first one. Yeah, I think there's a super the old one. Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
So I watched some of it, but I didn't understand anything.
Okay.
So
the new one's really good.
And
the books are really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen that one. Anyway, so yeah. Weird stuff. And because of not seeing Twin Peaks, I just was like, yeah, okay, he's having this weird dream and it's weird and whatever. But the Twin Peaks stuff makes it really interesting and kind of hats off in a way to the creators of Dragon Prince for putting these kind of really deep cuts, like really these influences that you really don't know unless you're, I guess, a big fan and have seen these things more than once, at least. and thanks to the wiki for pointing that out. Anyway, and so one of the things is Apelli says backwards. The thing she says backwards is, the jelly tart you like is going to come back in style.
Uh-huh.
And in the David Lynch thing, it's, that gum you like is going to come back in style. Uh-huh. So it's,
Yeah. They don't have gum, so replace gum with jelly tart. Fertig.
But it's funny that there's such strong references, you know, to these two series.
Yeah. Someone is a fan.
Someone is a fan. Yeah, maybe one of them's from Aaron Ahas and the other one's from Justin.
Yeah, maybe.
Who knows? But yeah, some would say maybe spend less time on the references and more time on giving us some story.
Maybe.
But
it's fitting, you know?
It's fitting, and it is funny. Yeah. And I think the people who are fans of these things, and there's a real cult following, I think,
of course,
for both of these things, will just be freaking out about this. So,
exactly.
Yeah. And I'm sure they enjoyed making it. So.
And I love, finding out all these references.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, for sure. Okay, so there's this stroking log happening, and Sparklepuff does a dance, and Viren's just like, none of you are making sense, and then takes off the crown, which just ends up mangled on the floor, like it was from his fall that killed him, so...
And bloody.
So there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
But knowing the Twin Peaks stuff is like, okay, well, at least that makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, and then there's the next scene where Terry begs Claudia to sleep.
Yeah.
Because sleep is important, and she didn't sleep for 2 days and can't walk properly.
Yeah.
And
Blood of child.
Exactly. So Sparklepuff can only speak blood of child, but listens to Terry when Terry says, okay, maybe be a little bit more quiet.
Yeah.
You know, like, yep. And then I have also a fever dream again. What else do we have there?
Also, there's this moment with Gollum at the water. Sparklepuff at the water, which is very Gollum from...
Ah, Gollum. Okay.
Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
The next thing. Viren's dream walks into Harrow's room after the battle. There's an arrow through Harrow's chest. And Harrow's suddenly alive with, like, black eyes. Kind of normally alive.
Mm.
Viren bows, and quite some night, Harrow says, but I couldn't have done it without you. And he apologizes for having been cruel and tells Viren that he's not a servant, that he's like family. And then Viren is so happy about this and said he would do anything for family, however dangerous, however vile.
Same thing.
It means everything to know how much he matters to Harrow. All he ever wanted.
And they're like brothers and family and yeah.
Yeah. And then Harrow says, yeah, of course, your soul is my treasure.
Yeah.
And then Viren clicks for Viren. He's like, what did you say? And that's the soul trapping spell, which we know.
Yeah.
It's the spell that he did to trap Rayla's parents and Runan. Yeah, and Pip appears, Hera's bird. And then he does this spell on Viren, and there's an arrow sticking out of his chest, and he has, like, black eyes. And it's all very, very dark.
Yeah. Oh, and your soul is my treasure is, of course, also backwards.
Yeah, is another reverse thing. So, yeah, so that throws up lots of questions. Because of Harrow doing the spell then on Viren.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, oh, so did Viren do that spell on Harrow actually? Because there was the fan theory that he put Harrow's soul into Pip, into the bird.
Ah, yeah, true. Yeah.
And never actually died.
No.
But I have to say, I looked that up a little bit, and that was confirmed to be not true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, Aaron has, and Justin, isn't it Justin Richmond? Anyway, they already said he's actually dead.
Okay.
But maybe they changed their mind and now they've realized, like, oh no, actually it would be cooler if he'd have also trapped Hera's soul somewhere.
But it's also, you know, this weird dream not being super realistic.
It's true. So, it's all in Viren's head, yeah. So. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, fair enough.
We're really running out of time again. Oopsie. So that all happens. Then Claudia wakes up to find them on a boat.
Yep, that's cool.
So they can sleep and move at the same time.
Because Terry built Claudia a dream raft.
Which is beautiful and kind of made of flowers.
And so Spikepuff eats butterflies with a long tongue.
Like a frog, yeah. So then we're back to Inverin's head. He's trapped in a coin and bounces off. Like, it looks like he's going to drop into water, but he kind of bounces off a wet floor. Poofs back into his body. Then little toddler Sorin comes running in with a dragon teddy.
Yeah.
My little golden boy, says Viren. So cute.
Yeah.
And throws Sorin up and down. The price... I can't remember what the game is, but the price is one Tummy Zerbert. And a Tummy Zerbert is a raspberry for any British people out there. Blowing a raspberry.
This one, yeah.
The kid's belly.
Yeah.
And he tells Sorin he loves him so much. But then Sorin starts coughing. And then turns to stone and dissolves in front of Viren's eyes. And Viren is distraught and said he would do anything to change this. Anything!
Yeah.
And then cut. End of episode. Dark stuff.
Yeah, really dark stuff. A little bit of Voldemort moment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Interesting. And also the intro where Viren turns to stone.
Yeah.
And cries.
Totally. And
so, yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of things going on.
Yeah.
And then the question is, oh, did this really happen? Because Claudia said something to Sorin about he wouldn't have been alive without Viren, without dark magic, when they had this conversation about dark magic together.
Yeah, because she helped him of something?
Yeah, when he got paralyzed.
Then. Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't going to die, he was just paralyzed.
Yeah, but...
But yeah, but in her head, she saved his life.
Yeah.
And, but it made me wonder if maybe he did get sick when he was little, and if Eren did a dark magic spell to save him.
Oh, wow. So, twice.
Don't know.
Yeah, sure, could be. I don't know, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah.
Just a theory.
Interesting.
Fresh off the press theory from the Breach.
Yeah.
Hot take. That's it.
I think that's it, yeah.
We have the credits.
And jelly tarts.
And jelly tarts. And so, overarching themes?
Old wounds.
Overarching themes I have, yeah, it's called Old Wounds and it's very clear. Like, Viren's old wounds,
uh-huh.
Zadia and the Humanlands old uh-huh. wounds, healing, blah blah.
Maybe also the banter with old wounds, I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
Could be. Maybe.
Okay, yep. So, credits, real quick this time. Viren falls, black and white. Definitely a madman. It's exactly a madman reference.
Ah, oh, okay. Ithari crafting the arrow, which killed hurt the
Bantha. True. Aravos and Sparklepuff sit side by side in the cinema, maybe? They look like cinema seats.
I just wrote hanging out, but they switched the star logo on the chests, I think.
Interesting.
Because now, so Sparklepuff had no logo.
Okay.
So maybe, I don't know. I think the next one is Leola with the South Star.
Yeah.
But not sure.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And Leola's an elf. Interesting to,
mention. Yeah.
Next one is the Corrupted Bantha, and it's very rare in these, but there's colour, and the Bantha has red eyes. Reddish eyes.
Oh, I didn't notice. Wow, okay, yeah, true. And then we have Black-White Viren again, only black this time, also reference to Madman, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Poisoned by Dark Magic, I wrote down, because it's only black.
Yeah.
And he's... also sitting there, like, also in a cinema and...
with his arm.
On another chair,
mm-hmm.
resting, so...
Yeah. It is actually the exact pose at the end of the Mad Men titles, but yeah,
okay.
Like, totally. Yeah. No, I like it, I like it.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, quick jellies?
Yeah. From the first one, even, I have... You could take a bath. Do not yell at the rare volumes. The mission bookworm. I'm already waiting as hard as I can. Evil jar of eyeballs, evil jar of toenails, evil jar of peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
I've got everything you need to defrazzle. And soon you will be feeling like a tree in the springtime. Relieved.
Nice. Yeah, that's basically what I had as well. So, and then in the last episode... do you think dragons would want to be besieged or entreated? Soren says, I think the one with the treats, maybe. Everyone likes treats.
Exactly.
And I have, soap has no right to come in such adorable little shapes. And I have, it's lurch or be lunch. Well, it's nighttime, so it's more likely to be dinner.
Exactly. Now let's get this big hunk of that moving. And we can relax to the jaunty rhythms of the clickety clackety claws. Is Terry the anti-Sauron? You know, like anti-hero, but funny Sauron?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. And this time my mount actually likes me. Kisses the horse. Horse, are you doing?
And he apologizes to the horse, yeah. So, sorry it's been a bit of a rushed ending here.
Yeah.
We've had a very busy day today. Next time we'll hopefully be more relaxed.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun doing this one.
Totally.
And we'll record the next episode as soon as we can.
Thanks for listening, as always. And
Listen to us next time. I hope you will be relieved when we post our next episode.
That's totally a dad joke.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
I'll read the synopsis. I'm really not. Okay. Let me have a drink. Yep. Start again.